John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. You wouldn't believe me if I told you, but there's peer pressure in being a preacher. There's peer pressure. There's pressure among the Christian people, among other pastors. And the pressure sometimes is, we need to preach against sin more. We need to preach against the wrath of God more. And we do that and forget one of the most important subjects of all. The love of God. I don't know, but it's been a long time since I've really just thought about the love of God, Bev. And all this week, for some reason, it's just been on my mind, my heart. And God, I think, just tried to remind me of how He thinks about me. Anybody in this room ever hard on themselves? How you think about yourself? How you see mistakes you've made? How you think people perceive you? I think if we're honest, there's a lot of us. But the Bible says the goodness of God will bring men to repentance. So I'm going to read a verse to you. Actually, I'm going to ask you to help me if you know it. I would be surprised if there's anybody in the room that don't know it. But I want to just read John 3:16. How many know it? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One more time. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to pick on two words out of that verse today and hopefully get you to think about God's love. The two words are so loved. He didn't say that just God loved the world. He said, Johnny so loved the world. Does anybody know what it means to so love something? I grew up in a home where I had parents who so loved me. They, when I was young and playing sports, they would go to my games. They would coach me. I would miss a major free throw in the game, and they would tell me it's okay. They so loved me. They would call my name out in the crowd, and I'd be so embarrassed. I would think, one day, when I'm a daddy, I won't love my kids like that. And then one popped out who kind of looked like me. And I put my name in his name. Before you know it, I've got his name on his shirt while he's playing T-ball. Could put the ball to the fence and get thrown out at first base. I'm talking about bust the ball. That's my boy. Go, Josh. Go, Josh. He'd wave at us over there. Find the kids and get the ball to first base, and the umpire would say, yeah, and he'd still be waving. He started rodeoing a little bit, and we'd go to the horse shows, and was in Lexington one time, and the horse running, he was used to out west, they'd run in the arena, and they let him run out of the arena, but in Lexington, they shut the gate. I'm like, oh no, his horse don't know to stop. And the horse stopped, but Josh didn't. He launched. And in the middle of the arena, I heard, oh! And so Rochelle said, whatever you do, whenever it gets hurt, don't run out there. That's embarrassing for a boy. I was the first one over the fence pushing ladies out the way. Got to get my boy. And then I had a girl. Old Scott. Whoo. We raised sheep for the 4-H fair. Sheep. Sheep. And go in and out of shows with the sheep named Willie. You know why? It isn't because we so loved her that we dealt with the sheep. And then she got older and she wanted to be a nurse. And she needed somebody to draw blood. And I said, sure, baby. Pick a vein. Ow. Sorry, Dad. Try this on, baby. Because I so loved her. And then she said, I don't want to be a nurse, I want to be a hairdresser. I said, great. Cut my hair. I go to Lexington where she's taking these classes, Kylie, and I hear her back there, oops. Like, that's not good. I forgot to put the guard on. I don't think it's that bad. And she calls the boss over. Can you do anything? I hear that whisper. Now, war, you know why? Because I so loved her. And then the little one came. He's playing Pee-wee NFL. Y'all know. He's 5. He's got a towel. He's got wristbands. He's got a glove to catch the ball. And he caught one. I don't know how he did it. It bounced off 2 or 3 kids and he looked in his hands. Run! He runs. His little helmet's running everywhere because it's too big for his head. It's like that. And he scores. And I'm like, woo! Nobody. Nobody loved their kids like that. I so love mine. Then you get grandkids. I won't even go. I got some that can do stuff that would have made you. But I can't tell you about it. You just have to see it. But I so love them. And I never really thought about God so loved me. I knew He loved me. But I never thought about the word so loved. He so loved me. The Bible said that in Romans 5:8, that God commended His love. He demonstrated His love for me. And while we were yet, what? Christ died for me. Oh. I think about that. And I think about how much He loves us. Somehow people think He only loves some. But I'm going to tell you, He so loved the world that He said, whosoever. I can't imagine that my God would give His Son for whosoever. Whosoever. Do you know there's people who will never, ever acknowledge that He loves them? Do you know that when He was being crucified, He was crucified for those who would never love Him back? When He was dying for some who would never, ever acknowledge Him? But can I tell you, if you're in this room, you're watching online, whether you acknowledge Him or not, He so loves you. You know, I was reading this week that the Bible says that while you're sleeping, He's watching over you. There's people probably in this room who says, I don't even know for sure if I even believe in the God. I'm just telling you, I don't care if you believe or not. When you're sleeping tonight, He's like this. I just like to watch her breathe. And all through the day, He's got His eye on you. The eyes of the Lord are to and fro. He loves you so much that He was willing to go to a cross in your place. You know, 750 years before Jesus would ever be upon this earth, God wanted to show Israel how much I love you. And there's a prophet by the name of Hosea. By the way, the name Hosea means salvation. And God told this guy, Hosea, I want you to go and marry a wife who is a prostitute. And God's like, say it one more time. I want you to go marry a wife who is a prostitute. And Hosea does. He marries a woman and her name was Gomer. That's some parents who don't love their kid. I think I'll call you Gomer. So she grows up with a name like Gomer. And Hosea finds her and he marries her. And they have three kids in about 3 years span. And Hosea wakes up one day and all of a sudden he looks around and Gomer's not there. Well, maybe she's in the bathroom. And he goes in there and he looks and Gomer's not there. Well, maybe she's out back and he goes out there. Maybe she's at the bunk. He goes everywhere. Gomer's gone. Gomer's gone. She's nowhere to be found. And God says to Hosea, I need you to go find Gomer. And I need you to bring her home. Yeah, but God, she left. I know. But I want you to go find her. And I want you to bring her home. And so Hosea goes out looking for his wife Gomer. Now, if your wife had been a prostitute in the past, there's probably places you're going to go look. And he goes to the places that most people don't want to go, and he starts looking for his wife. He goes around asking people, have you seen my wife, Gomer? No, I ain't saw her in a while. I saw her somewhere a couple months ago, but I ain't seen her in a while. And he keeps going around, probably had to ask some guys, have you seen my wife? They might say, well, sorry bro, I didn't know she was still your wife. And Hosea walked in to a city courtyard, and they're having an auction. And he looks, God, and over there is this wife who's been sold as a sex slave. And the Bible says, Hosea chapter 3, turn there with me. Hosea chapter 3, let me finish you right there. Hosea finds his wife at this auction. Now, let me ask something. How many of you have ever been to an auction? How many of you have ever been to an auction when they're auctioning off your wife? I wonder how long did people bid against him? How do you even stand there and watch this go down? But he does. And the Bible says, he won the bid. 15 pieces of silver. The half the price of a good woman slave. So what they were saying was, she's not even worth half a woman. But Hosea says, she's worth it to me. And Hosea bought Gomer at that auction. And y'all with me? He married her again. Not me. You had me once, babe. You've gone now. But not in this story. He married her again. Somebody says, you know what? Ain't she already your wife? Yeah. But she left. And I want her back. And I'm willing to marry her back. And I'm willing to say the vows again. Watch the vows in Hosea chapter 3. Here's the vows. Hosea chapter 3. Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. You don't go with nobody else, and I won't go with nobody else. That's our vow. Y'all know the story? You hear the story? Can I ask a question? Who's Gomer in the story? Israel, yeah. But you are. You're the Gomer in the story. You're the one that God came looking for in some of the good places. You're the one that God demonstrated His love for. When He sent Jesus to die on the cross. For everybody. For all. Because He so loved you. Do you get this today? When I think about God so loving me, I'm just telling you, I don't feel lovable. I've done some stuff. I've thought some things. I've said some words that I'm not proud of. And that was last week. Anybody? But I want you to know something. God demonstrated His love. And He used Gomer to show Israel. And He used Hosea to show Israel. The word Gomer means complete. And what God was showing Israel is, with me, you're complete. See, Jesus or God, if you will, is the Hosea in the story. Israel is Gomer. Jesus and us today, same story. And He loves us. And He loves us to the point He so loves us. Now, can I tell you something? Hosea married his wife. I know that sounds crazy. He's already his wife. I know. Can I tell y'all something? Y'all are going to like, I don't know. You're already God's. You're created. You were made. Colossians says everything was made for Him and by Him. The earth is His and the fullness thereof. Jesus was buying back what was already His. But you got to accept it. I don't know if you feel so loved or not. But I want you to know this today. Whether you feel it or not, you are. And can I say this? Jesus can do nothing but love you. He's not capable of not loving you. You and I don't really even know what love is, but the Bible tells us that God is love. Now, let me close with this in the book of 1 John chapter 1, if you would. 1 John chapter 4. Let me close with you here. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. I looked in the song book and I found this song I remember as a kid. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? No one could ever take the sin and shame from me. When I was in sin, I was doing some stuff, I was saying some things, looking at things, going places. And a lot of people, Packer, didn't care for Steve. A lot of people, Scott, did not care for Steve. But when nobody else cared for me, Jesus did. And He said, Steve, I love you. I don't just love you, Steve. I so love you. And every whip with the cat of nine tails, Steve, was for you. And it was for them who would not believe. But here's what it says in 1 John chapter 4. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, big fancy word, for take our place for our sins. You ready for verse 11? Beloved, if God what? So loved us, we ought also to what? Can I tell you what's wrong with church? Now it's time for me to read a verse and pitch a fit. Can I tell you what's wrong with church? We've all of a sudden begin to think we don't sin. But they do. And we're them's and us's now. That's right, preacher. You go right now. All of us are the us's. We're the Gomers in the story. No, no. Yeah. You're the Gomer in the story. You're the one that nobody should have went on and loved, but He loved you. He came looking for you. Tell me He didn't. He found you, didn't He?
Amen.
On a bad day, He found you. I remember when He found you. I remember when He found me. Anybody remember where He found you? Was you in a good place? Well, you know, I really have never done anything real bad. Really. Really? Really? That's not where He found me. He found me right in the middle of cussing. I'm talking about some pretty dirty stuff. That's where He found me. I love you, Steve. I so love you. Them words ain't good. Those words are why I died, Steve. So you wouldn't pay for them. All that anger I got. Patrick, I've been trying. I'm glad I don't play golf. I'd look like a 6-year-old on the golf course. I'd be like swinging stuff and throwing. Anger sometimes, Sherry, just gets me. And sometimes I'd feel God just put His arms around me and said, calm her down. Love you, Steve. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Got some sin right still going on in your life a little bit? Do you feel loved? Did He come find you where you was at? He said if God so loved you, and I think it's evident He did, He said we ought to what? What? That's what He said. He said we ought to love one another. Lord, help us realize what Jesus did. Help us realize how much He loves us. And so we can walk out of this building we call church and love people. Yeah, but Brother Steve, you don't know. I know, Gomer. I know. You forgot. If you're a good sinner, would you stand? Well, we've got about four. How about the rest of you? Can I tell y'all a secret? There ain't no such thing as good sin. Y'all go home and ponder that thought. Good sin. We're Gomers. And you'll never be complete until you meet your Hosea. If you go on and read in the story, Jesus in the book of Matthew sat around talking to some religious people. He said, go learn what this means. And he quoted Hosea. Matthew chapter 9. You'll find it in the book of Hosea. Jesus one day is going to come back and be King David. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Listen, Hosea didn't know any other great king but David, but he knew there's one greater than David coming, and it's Jesus. Can I tell y'all today, Hosea has come. Salvation has come. And if you want to be complete, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to do like Gomer and go home with the Lord. For God so loved the world. I don't know. I hope today, sometime in the middle of your lunch, you figure that one out. God so loves you that He demonstrated it. He showed you. And He gave you Jesus. If you're here today and you don't feel that love, and you've done some stuff that you don't think that you could ever be forgiven for, can I tell you something? You've come to the right place. It's not about these people, but it's about the Jesus in this room. And He wants to hug you. I remember when Josh was a little bit older, and I'd come up on the football field as a freshman, you know, and after the game I'd like, want to give him a hug, you know, good game. He'd be like, but you know, now when I hug him, when he'd live out of the town and I'd hug him now, Sherry, ooh, he'd hug me back. Some of you just need to let God hug you. You just need loved on a little. He loves you today. Don't leave here not knowing the love of Jesus. Father, Lord, I pray. Lord, where I fail, Lord, you know what's in my heart this morning. And Lord, I know people need to be loved. And so many of our world is not loved by society and by groups. But Lord, that's not what this says to me today. It says, for God so loved. Lord, I'm just grasping in that and feeling that today and this week, how you're so loved. But Lord, I know in this room there's somebody probably who feels like I don't deserve it. And I think that's why we got the story we had today. Gomer didn't deserve it. But that's exactly what she got. What she didn't deserve. That's what grace is. Thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, today in this invitation, please, don't let this thing close without everyone knowing they're so loved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.